All right, we are continuing a series this morning, and before we do that, I want to just encourage anybody who has surrendered your heart to Christ, you're starting to walk with Christ, and you haven't yet been baptized, baptism is a huge step in your journey with the Lord, so get signed up. All you have to do is text the number. If you didn't get the number off the screen, just stop out in the foyer and when you leave, and somebody will be able to help you with that. Get signed up for baptism. That's next Sunday, so make sure you're a part of that. So we're going to continue our series this morning, and this is the last Sunday of our questions series, and I feel like we're probably going to bring this one back later too, because there's a lot of questions that we need to answer. So here's a question I want to ask this morning. Why does God want my money? Why does God want my money? I feel like this message is kind of like, can I have a French fry? You know when you bought your kids a Happy Meal and you just wanted to reach over, you're like on your way to soccer practice and you're just like, I just need one fry. And they're like, no, these are mine. You're like, you're only alive because I allow it. And give me a French fry right now. No, these are my French fries. And it becomes a battle. And so then you're like, I'm never buying you any more French fries again. And we get that because we bought it. I just want one. It's not going to affect the way you feel when this is over. And sometimes when it comes to God and our money, we kind of do God the same way. Why in the world does God want my money? I love the story I heard about one man. He left church one Sunday and he laid down on the couch for a nap on Sunday afternoon, and he had this horrible dream. And he was recounting the dream later, and he said, I dreamed that the Lord took my Sunday morning offering and multiplied it by 10, and then he made that my weekly income. And he said, then I lost my TV, I lost my car, and I lost my house. Because after all, who can live on $10 a week? Oh, that one hurt, didn't it? I'm sorry. It's getting to the point that we accept God's plan for our money is not an easy thing. So I think before we try to answer the question, why does God want my money, maybe we should say, does he want my money? Does he even care about it? Well, let's look at some scripture. This is going to be heavy scripture this morning. A lot of scriptures. Exodus 23:19 says this. As you harvest your crops, bring the very best of your first fruit or your first harvest to the house of the Lord your God. So he said, he was talking to the people that were alive during that time, and he was setting a principle so that we could look back on it and live our lives the same way. And he said, when you go out and harvest your crops, I want you to set aside the first part of the harvest and bring that to the house of the Lord. Now, so we know that God is way back then in Exodus, way back in the beginning of this thing, he was saying to us, it's time for us to give. You have to be thinking about giving. So we move all the way to the end of the Old Testament, and Malachi 3:8-9 says this, should people cheat God? Well, the answer is no. We all know the answer to that. Should people cheat God? Yet you have cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? And then he responds, you have cheated me of the tithes and offerings due to me. You're under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. He said, look, I need you to give. I want you to give. And tithe and offerings is the way that we do that. And so he even goes so far as to say, why have you cheated me? He said, I gave you the full harvest, and I'm asking you to be generous and give a portion of that, in this case, 10% of that, back to the house of the Lord. Now look, when you go from having never heard this concept to saying, I'm really supposed to do that, that's a journey. God's got to be working in our hearts when we start to give that way. Now God already has the money that he needs. All right, he's not saying, you know, we're running in the red here, and I really need your help. I did hear about a radio preacher one time that he was telling people that they could give him $10 and he would send them a piece of a tree, and as long as they kept this piece of the tree in their house, that they would be blessed financially. I think it might have come from Israel or something like that. And at the end of his little program, he said, "And if you're going to do this, I need you to do it fast because we've been running in the red." He had the whole tree. And he was asking somebody else to give him some money, and he was promising things that just weren't true. Now, God does care about our money. God wants to bless us as we give, and God doesn't need us, okay? So let's look at Psalm chapter 50. "Oh, my people, listen as I speak. Here are my charges against you, O Israel. I am God, your God." So he just sets it up, right? He's like, "You know who I am. I'm God. We've been together a long time." He said, "I have no complaint about your sacrifices or the burnt offerings you constantly offer. But I do not need the bulls from your barns or the goats from your pen." So let's set this up. In the Old Testament, they were to give animal sacrifices at the tabernacle. And this would be to offer thanksgiving to God. It would be for the forgiveness of sin. This is the way they were to give. And he said, "I don't need the bulls from your barns or the goats from your pens, for all the animals of the forest are mine. And I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird on the mountains, and all the animals of the field are mine." Let's look at the next one. "If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you, for all the world is mine and everything in it. Do I eat the meat of bulls or do I drink the blood of goats?" He said, "Make thankfulness your sacrifice to God and keep the vows you made to the Most High. Then call on me when you're in trouble and I'll rescue you and you will give me glory." Now here's, I want three things I want us to learn from this little passage. He says, look, you're doing good. You're giving the sacrifices like I told you to, okay? But if I needed something, I wouldn't call on you because I own the cattle of 1,000 hills. So here's the three things I want us to get. Number one, God owns everything. Now listen, if God wanted something from you and you weren't willing to give it to him, he could just take it if he wanted to. If I was being stingy with God and he said, "Look, you got some stuff I could really use today. I'm taking that from you because I'm running in the red." God could take it all. It all belongs to him anyway. In Psalm, the scripture we just read said, "For all the animals of the forest are mine and I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. And I like what the old preacher said, "God owns the cattle of 1,000 hills and all the taters in them." God just owns it all. Everything that you have, everything that I have, it all belongs to him. Every blessing that I have came from him. I can sit over here with my Happy Meal and be stingy about it and forget that it came from God, or I can do the things that he's calling me to do. So the first thing is God owns it anyway. Now here's the second one. God doesn't need our help. Look at Psalm 50 and 12. "If I were hungry, I would not tell you. For all the world is mine and everything in it." Imagine when your kids were little and you put them to bed that night and then you're just, you know, you're flipping through Netflix and you're like, "I'm a little hungry. I think I'm gonna wake the kids up and see if they can't cook me some supper." That's ridiculous. You would never wake your children up and go, hey, you cook up some fish. I just have a taste for shrimp and fish tonight. We would never do that. God is saying the same thing. If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. I wouldn't tell you anything about it because you can't do anything for me. He said, "For all the world is mine and everything in it." He said, he's basically saying, "I don't need anything. I own it all. I created it all. It belongs to me. I'm just letting you use it a little bit. You're going to get about 70 or 80 or 90 years, and I'm going to move it on to somebody else. We're going to move your wealth on down the line. It does not belong to you." So what does God want? Why does God want my money? Now, this is the catch. Why does he want my money? Here's the third thing we're going to learn from this passage. God wants to get to your heart. Make thankfulness your sacrifice to God and keep the vows you made to the Most High. God couldn't care less about the zeros that you are giving him. He couldn't care. If you want to put a one in front of a line of zeros and give that to God, that's great. But the Bible also said that there was a little lady who gave two pennies, and she gave more than everybody because she gave out of her need. This is Jesus talking to us. He was saying she gave when it hurt to give, but she was willing to give anyway. God wants to get to my heart. Now let's see what the Bible says. God's plan for us is to develop our character. God is not okay with us having blemishes and weak spots in our character. God is constantly working to improve our lives. Now, but when we are little kids, right, when we're children, we hear things like, go clean your room. Now, what did we say? Why? Don't you love it when your kids say, why? It makes you want to just go over there and tell them how much you love them, you know? Go clean your room. Why? Well, and if you're going to try to be, you know, a parent by the book, you're going to try to take this opportunity. Well, it develops character and teaches you cleanliness, and it's going to help you understand responsibility and stewardship. And what are your kids going to say? I already know all that. And then what do you say? Just go clean your room. You don't get into a big discussion because you're trying to develop them. You're not so much concerned about the sneakers all over the floor. You're not so much concerned about the pile of clothes as you are, hey, we got to keep this house in order. And to do that, you're going to have to develop some character. You ever say to your kids, go mow the yard? And they're like, yes, get to mow the yard today. No, that's not the way this works. You didn't like it. They don't like it. It's just a part of life. Now watch. When God says to us, I need you, I want you, I expect you, I command you to do this, he is not doing it because it's good for him. He's doing it because it's good for you and it's good for me. Now, parents, we want to raise our kids and we want them to feel loved and we want them to feel liked. And we've all seen that kid who was overindulged to the point that nobody likes him and everybody's afraid to say it. If we live our lives stiff-arming the commands of God, what we are saying is, bring on the blessings, and I'll just allow myself to get spoiled over here instead of growing in my character. You see, God is so much more concerned about developing our character than he is our bank account. He's so much more concerned about the things of our heart. See, he's just trying to get to our heart. He wants our heart. How do we know that? Matthew 6:19. Let's look at it. Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them or rust destroys them or where thieves break in and steal. All right, he said, look, don't store up your treasures here. Now, he doesn't say you can't have money. He didn't say you can't have a lot of money. He just said, look, don't store up your treasures, the things you value the most. You can have a pile of gold, and that could be the thing you value the most. Or you can have a pile of gold and value the things of God more than you do the gold. This, the things of God, becomes the treasure. He says, so don't store up treasures here on earth where moths and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Verse 20, store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. He's saying, look, I want your heart. I want to work in your heart. I want you to value eternal things. I want you to value the things of God. There was a story of a, we know him as the rich young ruler. He wants to know, hey, how do I get eternal life? And it's explained to him. And he said, well, I've been doing all that stuff all along. And then he finds out, okay, go and sell everything you have. Because the story was, the thing that was going to keep him from God was his treasure, his earthly treasure. Then Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you the truth, it's very hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, watch this. When he says this, I'll say it again. Look at Matthew 19. He said, I'll say it again. I don't know. Let's see where we are here. Sorry. I'll say it again. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man, a rich person, to enter the kingdom of God. Now watch this. He said, look, if you are rich, that's great. But it's hard for a rich man to get into heaven. Now, he's talking about someone who loves their earthly treasure, who values earthly treasure. Now, listen, do you want more money? Is that okay to say? We would all like a little more money in the bank. It's okay. You can say yes. It's not a trick question. All right. I was in the dentist office or somewhere the other day, and they had a TV show in the lobby, and it was people who have won the lottery and are now buying their dream house. Have you seen this one? This is great. It's people like normal, everyday people, and all of a sudden they're like, ta-da, I'm going to buy the Taj Mahal. This is great. And so they don't know what to do with the giant house because they never had it, but they want a bunch of money. We all would love to just walk into a bunch of money. But it's important that we know God is trying to develop our character. If I fall in love with what I have here and now, I might fall out of love with what's to come. If I fall in love with the stuff that I have, and if it's so easy and so good right now, and I just hold on to everything I get, and I'm stingy with it, and I'm not generous, and I fall in love with this, I might fall out of love with Jesus. Because the treasure that I have here on earth is going to be gone eventually. Eternal things are not part of our daily thoughts when we fall in love with earthly treasure. Now, the Bible speaks a lot about money. How to take care of money. How to give. How to earn money. It tells us all that. So we know it's an important idea. But God giving us all those ideas and all those blessings, he also wants us to know that we've got to beware. We've got to be careful. God wants us to value the things that he values. What does God value? Let's look at Galatians chapter 5. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. This is the stuff that God values. Look at this on the second line. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He said, there's no law against these things. In other words, I want you to have these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed, now get this one, have nailed their passions and desires of their sinful nature to this cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. He said, look, I want you to value stuff that's going to be valuable 100 years, 200 years, 500 years from now. A big bank account will not be valuable. It will not be valuable when you check out of this life and into the next. It's gone. Listen, your kids are going to spend it anyway. Because money that is not earned is so easy to spend. They say that family fortunes are gone in the third generation. Grandpa worked real hard to make it, made a bunch of money. Second generation, they understood it. They went through some of the hardship. Third generation, they don't know where it came from. They're just like, let's go spend it. Let's get rid of it. Value the things that matter. What are those things again? Love, joy, peace, patience, all that list. God wants to develop that kind of character in us. Watch what happens when we start to develop that character. Now look. God is never trying to lower our bank account or lower our monetary value of the things we have. That is not his plan. God always wants to bless us. But first of all, he's got to get us to a point that he can trust us with it. I heard this story many years ago about the young, I've told this story to you before, about the young guy that was making $100 a week and he was tithing $10 a week. He was so happy to tithe $10 a week. And he went to his pastor and he said, look, I'm praying for a better job. I'm up for this promotion. I'm praying for this job. And I really want to get this job. And so they prayed and he got the job. And he went from making $100 a week to making $1,000 a week. And he went back to his pastor and he said, Pastor, I don't think I can afford to tithe anymore. I mean, this is $100 a week. Pastor said, no problem. Don't worry about it. Let's pray about it. He knelt down. He said, dear God, please give this young man his $100 a week job back so he can afford to tithe again. You see, God wants to bless us, but he's got to develop our character so he can trust it. How many times have we seen people go off the rails when the finances were there, but the character wasn't? We see that happen all the time. Go, just stop, look at any magazine when you're buying your groceries this afternoon. You'll see people who fame and fortune ruined their lives because the character wasn't there to handle it. God wants to develop the character. God wants to give to us so we can be a blessing, so we can be generous. Watch what he does. So the first scripture I read, you're one of the first ones, said, look, are you cheating God? And he was like, yeah. Now this is the end of that same scripture, Malachi 3, verse 10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's army, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's army. Then all nations will call you blessed, for your land will be such a delight, says the Lord of heaven's army. See, when we do this thing that God, when we trust God in our giving, God's never after your wallet. God's always after your heart. And he wants to make us to make sure that our treasure is in the right place. Missionary Jim Elliot had a great quote from many, many, many years ago. He said, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. When we say we're going to give up what we can't keep anyway, to gain that treasure that we cannot lose, God is just asking us to be servants. Now, God didn't tell us to do something that he wasn't willing to do on his own. God owns it all, so giving an amount of money for your salvation or my salvation wouldn't have meant anything. God could have said, all right, I'm going to pay $1 million so you can be saved. That's not the way it works. What happened? For God so loved the world that he was generous with his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He showed us what giving looks like. This message this morning is not about money. It's about my heart. Where's my heart? God wants to develop my character. God wants me to develop an affection and a love for eternal things. So I want to close with this question. What do you love the most? Now you look at your wife right now and you go, you, honey. All right. This would be the right time to do that. All right. But right after you, what are the things you love the most? Where do you spend your time? What are you doing with your money? That really is going to show us what we love. What are the treasures that are the most valuable to us? Is it letting God develop love and joy and peace and all that stuff in us? Or are we looking at earthly things to give us happiness? God is saying, don't do that. You know, when you... All the studies have shown that when you go buy, make a new purchase, you buy that thing you've been wanting for a while, man, your body is just flooded with hormones that go, yes, this is awesome, I'm so happy. And you stay there for a little while, and it feels so good. And you're like, look, I did this thing, and I'm just so happy about it. New car, look at my new car. And then 3 days later, all that is gone. All that serotonin, all those endorphins are gone, and you're like, oh my goodness, who's going to pay for that? It felt so good when the guy was telling us what a great car this was. We get a new job and we get a raise, and it feels so good. And then we realize there's more responsibility with that job. See, we get a rush, an immediate rush of this is great. That's earthly. That's earthly. Eternal things often don't feel good. When you're focusing on eternal things here on earth, a lot of times it doesn't feel good because you're having to back away from what this world has to offer and say, let me do this God's way. Let me handle this according to God's plan. Watch this. But if I will commit my life to him and let those things like love and joy and all develop in me, the reward is coming. And he said, look, if you get all the glory here on earth, you got your reward. But he said, if you'll do what I'm saying, your reward is coming in the eternal. Your reward is coming in heaven one day. But there are times when we have to deny ourselves if we're going to obey God. The Bible tells us this. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him. We got this weird, bad theology in America that says if you'll just follow Christ, God's going to remove all your problems. That's a lie. That's a lie. And we used to have this thing where if you'll just, God wants to make you rich. If you'll just follow Jesus, God's going to make you rich. That'd be great if it was true, but it's a lie. The Bible says Jesus didn't even have a place to lay his head. Jesus wasn't even rich. And I think I'm going to be rich just because I'm good. He did say, though, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. It means I'm committed to Christ no matter what. The Old Testament says, though he slay me, though he lets me go through horrible times, I'll still serve him. I'm still going to walk with him. Because no matter what this life looks like, no matter what this life looks like, this is still leading us to an eternal relationship with Jesus. If I answer the question, why does God want your money? Why does God want my money? Because he's trying to get to my heart. He just has so much more for me than a bank account. He has so much more for me than more money. He has so much more. But to give it to me, he's got to get to my heart. That's why God wants our money. Because it's the way to our heart. I want us to stand together. God knows what he's doing in your life right now. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're facing. But I know God does. I know God has a plan. Sometimes I just wish God would check in with me before he lets this stuff happen. It's like, just God, every now and then, if you could just ask, that's not the way he works. He's got a plan. And when I surrendered my life to him, I'm saying, I surrender my life to your plan, God. I want your will to be done with my life. So here's what we're going to pray for this morning. First of all, if you don't know Jesus, you don't have a relationship with Christ, I like to say it's as easy as A, B, C. You got to admit that you've sinned. You got to believe on Jesus and you got to confess him. You got to say it with your mouth. That's what the Bible says. A, B, C. Admit, believe, confess. So you pray that prayer in your own way. Start your journey with the Lord. Let that be the starting point for you. And here's the second prayer we're going to pray. God, I want to surrender. Now don't go making God promises this morning. He already knows if you're going to fulfill them. So if you're not going to fulfill them, you just look silly making promises. All right? So don't make promises, but just start today by saying, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to serve you. I want you to have my heart every day. I want my heart to be surrendered to you in eternal things right here. When I'm clocking in at work and checking out at Walmart, I want my life to be surrendered to you in such a deep way that everything I do is pointing to eternal things. That I represent you the way you want to be represented. That I handle my finances the way you want me to handle my finances. That I take care of my family the way you would want me to take care of my family. I want my life to point to eternal things. That's our second prayer. God, help me. Help me to do this. All right, here we go. Father, we just thank you so much for your love this morning. God, we thank you that you care about us on such a level that we could never understand it and even imagine it. We just know, Lord, that we love you because you first loved us. God, we pray for any person in the building that says, I'm ready to commit my life to Christ. I'm ready to surrender. I know that I need Jesus. I know I need a Savior, Lord. I pray today, we pray today, right now, that God, you would help them to admit, and believe, and confess you as Lord. And God, we pray for every person in the room that says, I'm ready to commit my life on a whole new level. I want everything I do to point to eternal things. Everything I do, God, I want to just be in line with your plan, your word, and your will. God, we trust you for this, and we thank you. We pray for wisdom. We pray for courage, and we pray for self-control, and we pray, Lord, that you would help us to walk with you in obedience every single day, and we stand on your promises and on your word, and we know that you're faithful in Jesus' name. I want to give you something to do this week. When you sit down with your Bible to read your Bible, whether you do that in the mornings, evenings, whatever you do, I want to challenge you to do this. This week, just grab a piece of notebook paper or printer paper or napkin, whatever, and just at the top, just write, am I living for eternity? Am I living my life now pointing me and the people around me to eternity? Am I doing this? And then just take a minute and go, okay, here's an area that I could use some work on. Here's an area that if I would just let God focus on this a little bit, then it would change the way I live, do some things, and the way I live in this area or that area. Because a pile of gold is important, but eternity is so much more. So what are the things? Let's ask ourselves that this week. What can I do to help me live my life for eternity in an even greater way? All right? Okay. Look at somebody, and I want you to say this. I'll give you a French fry. Here's my favorite part of that. I'm not going to say where this married couple was, but they looked at each other for a minute. I don't know if I can share my fries with you. So God is asking us to take a next step in our journey with him. That's what he's asking. That's to be generous with others, to be generous with him. And when we do that, he points our life in the right direction. Here we go. Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you for all you've done. And God, we pray that you'd get the glory from everything we do. Lord, help us to live our lives in a way that says eternity is important. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you, everybody. Thank you for being here.